Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As Pastor Jennifer said, I'm going to offer an opportunities for us to be together in giving this sermon. We'll have opportunities for us to pray, and I'll do a little bit of directing for that prayer. Would you pray with me right now? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, there was a mother who was watching her little daughter play with her cat. And as they were playing, the mother realized that they were playing church together. And the little girl dressed up the cat in ruffles and a dress, and the cat seemed to enjoy it. She sang hymns with the cat, and the cat seemed to enjoy it. The little girl took the cat's paws and put them together and bowed the little cat's head and prayed, and the cat seemed to enjoy it. They even shared in a little bit of food, and she called it a potluck dinner, and the little cat seemed to enjoy it. Well, my hope and prayer is that as we're gathered here together, that we enjoy the experience of coming to worship. If we can enjoy the experience of worship, can we say amen about that? Amen. But the only difference is that even as we smile, even as we laugh, even as we sing, and as we pray together, we are not playing church. We're doing important business. We're doing perhaps what is one of the most important life-giving, life-affirming things that we as human beings get a chance to do in being the body of Christ together. This month, Lawrence United Methodist Church is 182 years old. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? 182 years old. And I thought that it might be neat to do what we've done before, is look a little bit back at our history and to talk about what it means for us to be the church. So for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be focusing on what it means to be the church. But first, I wanted to go back 182 years and talk about what was going on way back then. So way back then, the first postage stamp was ever created, okay? It's the very first postage stamp, 182 years ago. 182 years ago, Dallas, Texas became a city. And 182 years ago, Jerry Russell was born, so. That's right. All that was going on when our church was first begun. And let me ask you, some of you know this, what was happening on the day in which the beams, the four center beams that you see here, were put up? Anybody remember what happened on that day? 9/11, the Twin Towers came down as our beams were being raised up. And that night we had a worship service here where hundreds of people came and prayed for our country and prayed for our world together. As I think about the 182 years that our church has been in existence, there have been thousands of baptisms. We've sent people to be pastors and missionaries and doctors and teachers. We've developed community leaders and God-fearing mothers and fathers. But the more I began to think about it, the more I began to realize something. Our church wasn't really established 182 years ago. In reality, our church was established 2,000 years ago. Because that's when Jesus established the church. See, the truth is, we are something much bigger than Lawrence. We're something much bigger than Methodist. We're something much bigger than Protestant. We are the church. For all these years, we've had an important job. Tell the good news. The good news that Jesus died for our sins. The good news about God's grace and call in our lives. The good news that we are not alone. I like how during the children's moment they talked about what it means to be adopted. It's a reminder to us that when a child has no mother or no father or no family, they are called an orphan. And we put all our efforts together towards trying to find a community of family for them. And you might wonder, well, why do we try so hard? And the reason why is because there is fundamental about having family. There is something that's developmentally important for us to be nurtured and to help be raised. The same is true in the life of a Christian. A Christian without a church home is like an orphan who's missing out on something. And today I want to talk about some of the reasons why the church is best suited to be the family that shares the good news. Well, here's the first thing that I want to say. One of the reasons we're best suited is because the church's founder is Jesus Christ. The church's founder is Jesus Christ. When you think about great companies, you often think about the great leaders who helped to birth them. And so what I wanted to do is I just wanted to show some great leaders, and then you all help me by shouting out who their company is. So the first great leader is Steve Jobs. And what was his company? All right, good. The next is, that's Musk, right? And anybody know his company? Tesla, okay. And then the next is? Jerry Russell, no, Colonel Sanders, right? And Colonel Sanders' company is KFC. But when you think about the church, our founder is Jesus Christ. And there are other founders whose are companies whose founders, they die, they go away. Steve Jobs or other companies can even fire or get rid of their founders. But Jesus is central, he is with us, and he still leads and guides us today. And if you want to see the influence of Jesus and the influence of the movement of Christ, all we got to do is look on the names of organizations that help, like hospitals and schools and orphanages, and so often they are connected back to Jesus Christ or to his followers. When you think about the church, it's not the pastor's church, or the people's church, or the denomination's church. It's Jesus' church. And here's what our scripture lesson for the day said in Matthew 16. And he, Jesus, asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." The people were actually thinking that he's like a return of these great people from the past, that they've come back, and that's who Jesus is. Jesus said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" I've heard preachers say that this is the most important question that we will ever answer in our life here on earth. But not only that, it's the most important question that we'll answer in our life after our life here on earth. Because our answer gives direction to which way we'll go in this world and in eternity. Simon Peter replies in Matthew 16 through 18, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answers him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are who?" Peter. What's another name for that? Simon Peter or Petra. "And on this rock I will build my church, the power of death shall not prevail against it." There's a lot of people who read this and hear what Jesus says to Peter, and they assume that Jesus is going to build the church on Peter. Here are some of the reasons why people assume that. Jesus gives Peter the name which means rock. Peter would also become the first bishop of the church. So there's a lot of reasons why people think, well, Peter, you made this great statement of faith, and Jesus is placing the entire church on your back. You're the founder. But other scholars have said it this way, and this is what I agree with, is that it's not a person that Jesus is building the church on. It's a confession. Peter's confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes. And upon this rock, upon this statement of truth, I will build the church. When we confess the same thing, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we confess that, we are laying the foundation of the church. Now, I know that the church has been around for 2,000 years, but when you confess that Jesus is the Christ, you're laying the foundation. You're not working on the 1,000th floor or the 2,000th floor. You're working on ground level. And even though we're standing on the shoulders of brothers and sisters and walking the path that others have worn smooth, that have gone before us, we are still laying the foundation of what the church is when we confess that Jesus is the Christ. And I would dare to even say this, that our confession, our statement of faith, is just as important as Peter's long ago. Who are you? Who do people? Who do I say you are? I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we talk about the church, one of the things we can't help but do is to talk about some of the issues with the church as well. Have you ever heard people say this? I love Jesus, but I can't stand the church. Ouch. Maybe some of you have even said that. But the problem with that attitude is that Scripture calls the church the bride of Christ. The church is important to Jesus. I did a wedding a while back for a pretty big guy, and I was trying to think, what if on the wedding day, one of the wedding guests came up and said, hey, man, I love you. You are awesome. But that girl you're about to marry, oh, my gosh, I can't stand her. She's ugly. She's smelly. I hate her. I don't think that would have gone over very well. What do you think, huh? That guest probably would have been punched in the face and kicked out of the place. Well, I think it's similar with Jesus. You love Jesus, but you can't stand his bride. Then we've got problems. Now, the truth is that the church isn't perfect. It never has been. It never will be because the church is made of human beings. But when the church is working right, it's a wonderful thing. And let me say this. We can't, as Christians, fully learn to love God until we learn better to love one another. Jesus says, they will know that you are my followers by how you love one another. And so there's something fundamental about our relationship with God that's lived out in our relationship with one another. So therefore, we need to be careful about how we speak about our church, because the church is the bride of Christ. We shouldn't gossip or tear down the church or the people in the church. We should use our words to build people up, to build the church up, and to pray for one another. And so what I want to do is this, is throughout this sermon, I'm going to give us some opportunities to actually pray together. And I just want to focus our prayer just a little bit. I want to invite you to pray in the same way that we normally do and end your prayer by saying, Lord, hear my prayer, and we as the congregation will respond, Lord, hear our prayer. But I'm going to ask if you would also, perhaps during this section right here, would you include praying for the witness of the church? Praying for the witness of the church. I'll take a few opportunities for us to pray, and then I'll continue on with the sermon, and I'm going to do that twice more. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, I thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have today to make the confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, hear my prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer.
Let me continue on. I want to share the other aspect is that the church's membership is continual. Earlier in the service, we shared from the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed starts out with telling us about what we believe in God and what we believe about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But then it talks about what we believe about the church. And it says this, I believe in the holy what? Catholic Church. Now, a lot of times people come to me afterwards and they say, Pastor Joe, we are Protestant. We've been Protestant our entire lives. Why do you have us saying that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church? I don't understand it. Well, let me share with you that Catholic there is a lowercase c, and the lowercase c Catholic means universal. There was no Catholic Church, big C, when this creed was created. There was just the church. And so this means the church of Jesus Christ, the whole. And so when we're saying this, we're saying, I believe in the church. And that means the church down the street. That means this church. That means the St. Lawrence Catholic Church. It means that we believe that we're all working together in the universal church of Jesus Christ. 3 years ago, I made a church sign, and some of you will remember it, that said, I love my church. And we went around during the fish fry, and we held up the sign, and people would stick their face in the sign and say, I love my church. Well, there's a young man named Isaac who was there, and I asked Isaac, would you take this picture with me? And Isaac said, no way, I can't. If I take this picture, my pastor's going to kill me. I'm not talking about a different church, or I'm not talking about a church that's down the street that we think of as being of another denomination, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. And sometimes the mistake of the church is we begin to think that our competition or that our enemy is another church. It never has been. It never will be. We are called to be together, the church of Christ. The creed also says this, I believe in the communion of saints. The church is made up of Christians that are alive today, young and old alike. But the church is also made up of people who have lived and have died. And when we die, we become a part of what's called the great cloud of witnesses. And I've heard people say that while we're worshiping down here, while we're praying, while we're singing down here, up in heaven, they're worshiping and they're praying and they're singing there. Our average attendance this year in church is 176 persons. Those are the number of people that are worshiping in this building. But when you look at the church, you have to look beyond our building, even beyond our time. And when you put it all together, the church that is worshiping with us right now is billions strong. When we worship here, we need to realize that we are part of something much bigger. We need to realize that we are called to be united together. And even though there are different times and different locations where we worship a God that calls us to togetherness. I'd like to invite us to a time of prayer. And I want to just focus a little bit our prayer and say this. We want to pray for the finances of our church. And pray for the attendance and strength of our church, that we might be a greater witness in the world. Mighty God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we are part of something big. Lord, hear my prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Last point I want to make is I want to talk about the church's focus. The focus of the church is outward. I went to seminary at the Christian Theological Seminary here in Indianapolis, and it's got a beautiful building. I believe it was made in the late 60s, and it's got kind of a U shape to the building. And it's interesting that on the outer walls of that U, there are hardly any windows at all. And if they are, they're very thin. But the inside of it that leads to a courtyard, the whole inner wall is just made up of windows. It's continuous windows. So there's an unintentional message that's being sent. They didn't intend for this to be the message. But it unintentionally sends a message that says, turn your back on the problems of the world and focus within. I went to a church to do some worshiping about 20 years ago. It was called All Friends Church. And I'll never forget, our church drove up to go and worship with them. And as we come to the parking lot, they have a huge 8-foot locked fence all the way around their parking lot, and on the top of that fence is barbed wire. Now guess what? They probably didn't intentionally send this message. They probably never got together and said, hey, let's make a statement to the community, right? They didn't intentionally do that, but the unintentional message that they're sending is we are really focused on protecting ourselves, right? And I think that sometimes it's so simple for us to send messages to the community that we're about protecting ourselves, that we're focused on ourselves, that we want our own comfort, that we're about pleasing ourselves. But that's an unintentional message because the opposite is true of why we were created. Let me share with you this quote by Walter Walgreen. He said, the church is one of the only organizations that exists primarily for the salvation of the people who are what? Outside of it. We're not made to simply handle our own desires, our own wants, our own needs, but to reach out beyond our walls to others, even if it's uncomfortable, even if there's a risk to it. You know what? Let me just really talk. I really, really felt bad every time someone's purse got stolen, every time someone littered or spilt on the carpet or even stole the car. I felt really bad as a pastor anytime that happens to us. And yet, can I just tell you what we signed up for when we said that we were going to be the church? We signed up for something radical and something different, and that when Jesus called together his disciples, he said, deny yourself daily, pick up your cross, follow me. And as bad as I feel, and as much as it hurts me, anytime someone comes in and does something they shouldn't in the life of our church, I still would urge us to have the courage to focus outward. Don't allow the actions of a few to turn us inward and to thumb our nose at the rest of the world that God calls us to serve. When our focus is off, we focus only on ourselves. We think of ourselves as a museum for saints instead of a hospital for sinners. But here's what Jesus said. When Jesus heard this, he told his disciple, "Healthy people do not need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners." The church's focus is on those outside of the walls. It's never been about my preference or yours. It's not about what type of music we like or even what the donuts taste like, even though save a strawberry or a blueberry donut for me. It's always been about helping people to know the love of Jesus Christ. It's about telling the good news. I invite you to a time of prayer, and I'd ask if you would pray specifically for the community that we are trying to reach. Mighty God, I thank you for this day, and I lift up the young people in this community. And I thank you for the wonderful things that you poured into them and who they are. And I just ask that you would help them to come to a knowledge of your love for them. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Mighty God, I thank you so much for the courage of this congregation. Thank you that in spite of danger seen and unseen, in spite of us being robbed by gunpoint once more than 30 years ago, in spite of purses stolen, cars stolen, kids with bad mouths, in spite of the fact that someone came and stole the offering at the beginning of this year, in spite of all of those things, dear Lord, that this church loves you and loves this community, we pray in a special way that you would give us a boldness that looks at this present suffering as it's nothing. It's nothing in comparison to the glory that is to be revealed in you. I thank you for those who have gone before us, who have shown us the way, how to deal with suffering and persecution and hard times. And I just pray that we would have that strength of a Paul, that we would have that boldness of a Peter, that we would have the ability of realizing that even when we've failed and messed up, that you are here with us and that you strengthen us. I thank you for this incredible church, and I ask that you would use us for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, hear my prayer. There was a mother who's watching her daughter as she plays with her little cat. And they were playing church. And the little daughter would dress the cat up in a dress with ruffles, and the cat seemed to be enjoying herself, and the little girl would sing with the cat, and the cat seemed to be enjoying herself, and she even took the cat's paws and put it together and bowed its head and prayed, and the cat seemed to be enjoying herself. They even ate together, and she called it a potluck dinner, and she seemed to be enjoying it with the cat. The mother then steps into the kitchen for a moment, and she hears the little girl in the bathroom with the cat. And the little girl said, "And now I baptize you in the name of..." And the cat screams and runs out and into the kitchen soaking wet. And the mother says, Oh, honey, the cat doesn't want to be baptized. And the little girl said, "Well, she should have thought about that before she joined my church." It's not my church. It's not the Methodist church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And there will be times in which Jesus calls us to step out in the things that are not comfortable, not easy, maybe not even safe. But we never step out alone. Amen.